Hello, and thank you for listening to Simply Grace, the podcast ministry of Grace Lutheran Church. This is Pastor Wesley, and I'd like to hear from you. Please send us a message to 909-683-1182. That's 909-683-1182.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 2. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered what was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. You probably saw in the news this week that there was a tragic accident in Imperial County, California. 25 people were in a Ford Expedition, and a driver of a big rig hauling gravel collided. Last I checked, 13 people lost their lives, and 13 people were injured. Now, some would look at that and say that it happened with a very simple explanation. They broke the law. But I say to you this morning that that happened because we have broken God's laws, the Ten Commandments. And whenever we as a people fall short of following God's laws, the consequences are painful and tragic. The good news is that this morning we have a reading from Exodus, a reminder of the covenant God made with us, the Ten Commandments. And so we have a wonderful opportunity to immerse ourselves in God's law and to ask ourselves the question, what does this mean? And how do we live this out? So here we go. Commandment number one. I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make any idols or have any false gods. One of the false gods, the idols, that is very prevalent in our world today, all over the world, is the idol of a nation. Of course, we are called to be good citizens, to care for our nation, to love it, to honor our civic duty, but we are not called to worship our nation. Whenever we go so far as to think that a country could save us, we've gone too far. And worshiping a nation is called nationalism. An example of this would be in our gospel reading this morning, when Jesus went to the temple and he cleansed the temple. And the reason why he did that was because there was nationalism happening. There was idolatry in the temple. Jesus turned over the tables of the money changers because in those days, the money, the currency that was used from Rome, were coins with the image of the Caesar stamped on them and the words that said, Caesar, son of God. And so those coins were offensive to Jewish people and even more offensive to try to bring them into the temple. That's why the money changers were there, so that people could change their Roman coin to an offering that was more acceptable. So for Jesus to turn those tables over to disrupt what was going on was for Jesus to confront that message being proclaimed by Rome that their salvation came through Caesar and the Roman Empire. That is idolatry. The Ten Commandments remind us that we are saved by God. God is the one that freed the people from Egypt and led them into freedom. When we make an idol out of a country, it can lead to very hurtful attitudes toward anyone who's not in our country. But God calls us to be compassionate and loving to all people all over the world. And God loves and blesses all nations. Commandment number two, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know, someone asked me, or people ask me occasionally sometimes why I learned Spanish. And the reason why I learned Spanish is because it's the language of heaven. Did you know Spanish is the language of heaven? Yeah. Because the person in charge in heaven, his name is Jesus. But when the commandment says not to take God's name in vain, vanity, vain, to be vain, to have vanity is when we are focused on ourselves. When we think that God's name is just to bless ourselves, but in fact, God's name is uttered in languages. God's sacred name is uttered in languages all over the world. And we are enriched. Our faith is enriched and our understanding of God is enriched when we hold God's name as sacred and we learn God's name in different cultures and languages. Commandment number three, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Specifically, if you look at the text itself, it says, you shall not do any work on the seventh day. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, your female slave, excuse me, servant, your livestock, or the foreigner who is with you. Isn't it interesting that thousands of years ago, when God gave the Ten Commandments, God specifically noted to Moses that when it comes to the Sabbath, you will have foreigners among you, and they are to be able to observe a day of rest as well. Thousands of years ago. Makes me think that throughout time in history, there have always been foreigners living in the land, whatever land you're in. I learned Spanish in Mexico, and when I was there in school, a friend of mine who lived in Mexico invited me to go out for Chinese food in Mexico. I thought that everyone just ate Mexican food all the time, you know? I was kind of sheltered. And so we went to a Chinese food restaurant there in Querétaro, Mexico. And guess who was inside, you know, who owned the restaurant, who was cooking all the food, who worked in the back, who was serving? Chinese people. And guess what kind of decorations they had? It looked exactly like a Chinese food restaurant you might go to the United States, except it was in Mexico. And it was just one of those aha moments for me that no matter what country you're in, there will be foreigners. It's how the world works. God's hand moves people in different places from every country to every other country. We are totally mixed around the world. Today we call that globalization. At Grace Lutheran, we've been starting a new ministry lately speaking Spanish. You can connect the reason for that directly to commandment number 3. God tells us the foreigner who resides in your land also should be able to observe the Sabbath. Commandment number 4, honor your mother and your father, your parents. I think this is a real strong point that churches offer. Church and being a part of a believer is a way of bringing people together. I remember when I was on my internship in Sierra Vista, one of our members who was over 90 years old became ill and went to the hospital. And so many people showed up. And this man, his name was Ray, he had family. And they lived, you know, a few hours away. And they were close. But at the hospital, the medic said, okay, well, who's the family member? And one by one, we said, no, 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 no. And he said, well, what are you all doing here? Well, we all go to the same church. And that's one of the beauties of church is it brings the generations together. And even if our own families might live far away, we care for each other. Older generations and younger generations forming spiritual relationships. And as we bring new people into our church, I know that they would love the opportunity to get to know everyone so that we can support each other as a spiritual family to honor our parents. Of course, one of the benefits of honoring your parents is that the younger generation sees you. And when we set that precedence, when it's our turn to get on in years, we've taught the children how to care for us because we've led by their example. Commandment number 5 is to not kill anyone. It's important to note in our gospel reading today that, you know, when Jesus cleanses the temple, he is non-violent. He has a whip, which would have been the normal way that you would move cattle and livestock. But there's nothing in the text to suggest that he was violent toward any people. God calls us to be a people of peace and to not kill. And we know that when there is violence, when violence erupts, especially in the form of war or crime that gets really out of hand, it causes refugees to flee their countries and look for safer places. One of the things we can also be proud about as Lutherans is we do have a growing strong presence in the country of Honduras and throughout Central America, missions. And these missions help to stabilize the area, to create opportunity and to reduce violence so that not so many people have to be refugees. Commandment number 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The good news is that no matter who we are, or what kind of a relationship we're in, or what kind of family we have, God promises us that we can have intimacy, that we can have close, trusted, loving relationships in our lives, perhaps with friends, perhaps with a spouse, for those who are called to that vocation of marriage. But no matter who we are, there is depth and wonderful closeness and intimacy. And again, church creates that opportunity for us to have caring relationships with one another. When that doesn't happen, when people are not well, when they are terribly lonely and they don't have appropriate ways to form intimacy and trusted relationship with people, those sorts of negative behaviors that we are aware of can lead to things like human trafficking. All over the world, young women are sometimes trafficked. When we avoid adultery, we avoid that phenomenon. Commandment number 7 is do not steal. Luther wrote in his explanation of the Ten Commandments that it's not just about stealing from people, but it's also about not ripping people off, right? Not conning people, but being truthful in our business dealings and being fair and equitable. Again, it's understood that part of why Jesus was disrupting the money-changing tables in the temple was because people were probably being upcharged quite a bit when they came to make their offerings. Jesus has no problem with the temple. Jesus has no problems with making an offering to God. What God wants us to do is to be fair and equitable and honest in our interactions. And of course, as we think about people who labor in our fields, picking our food, cooking, doing many of the essential work and the services that we need to survive, commandment number 7 calls us that all people deserve to be paid a just and livable wage. Commandment number 8 is thou shalt not bear false witness. Again, Luther says, of course it means to not lie, but it also means that we should explain our neighbor's actions in the kindest of ways. As a rule of thumb, if we have a problem with someone and they're not in the room, we should probably think twice before we air our grievances. And of course, Matthew directs us to always speak directly with a person. And if need be, bring a witness, bring a neutral third party. But we should always be dealing directly. That's part of not bearing false witnesses. It helps us hold us accountable that we don't inflate or misrepresent how we feel or what has transpired. Sometimes when people are hurting and they don't want to take responsibility for their actions, they might scapegoat. It's a temptation when we struggle and we're not quite sure what's the cause of our pain and we don't know how to resolve our pain, there's a temptation to scapegoat people. There's been a spike of hate crimes in our world, singling out racial minorities in our country. They've been scapegoated as the cause of our problems. That's a lie. When Jesus was in the temple, he said, if this temple is destroyed, I will rebuild it in 3 days. They thought he was lying, and Jesus was scapegoated, and he was crucified. But later the disciples realized that when he said, I will rebuild it in 3 days, he meant his body. He resurrected from the grave. And the good news is that whenever someone might be scapegoated or suffer or be hurt from lies, God knows the truth. And the eternal life that God gives us cannot be destroyed. We can stand firm in faith as Jesus did, knowing that God's truth endures forever. Commandment number 9, do not envy your neighbor's possessions. So when we were doing our family devotions this week and we were studying the Ten Commandments, we got 1 through 8 and all the kids like up here raised their hand, no problem. But when we got to number 9, we said, yeah, this one's pretty hard. It's hard not to envy, right? If our friend or our neighbor has the latest electronic or car or clothing or brand. Some economists have even wondered out loud, what would happen to the economy if everyone stopped envying? Would we sell new products? Sometimes I wonder, going back to commandment number 1, if the economy has become an idol for us today. You can't listen to the news without there being a report on the condition of the economy. Is the economy good or is the economy bad? And there's an implication there that if the economy's good, then everybody will be okay. We'll all be okay. We can all breathe and relax as long as the economy's okay. But of course, that's not true. It's God that makes us okay. It's God that saves us. Our well-being depends on God. And the economy's well-being depends on us. Brings us to commandment number 10, do not envy relationships with others. Don't be envious. At the beginning of the commandments, God says, I'm a jealous God. When Jesus was in the temple and he began to disrupt the tables and drive out the animals, the disciples were reminded of a verse that says, my zealousness or my jealousness for the temple will consume me. And indeed, Jesus was so zealous for us, loved us so much that he gave his life for us. He drove out those animals, again, not because he was against worshiping God in the temple, but he said, I will now be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I am so loving to all of my people that I give myself. Like God said way back in the beginning, I am jealous of you. I love you so much. So we hear these 10 commandments, and what do? Part of our sinful nature is that we hear them and we even kind of want to rebel against them. I remember growing up, and for me, I always struggled with trash day. Trash day. The night before trash day, we had to take out all the trash. That was my job growing up. Take out the trash, okay? Not just the kitchen, but if I didn't do the bathrooms, boy, I'd hear about it. Got to take out the bathroom trash, the garage trash, the laundry room trash. Oh, gosh, I got so tired of that. So by the time that I finally moved out on my own and I had my own place, when trash day come and I was the king of my castle, did I take out the trash? Heck no. I'm going to leave that trash right where it is. I can do things my way now. And what happened to my living quarters? They stunk. They stunk. They stunk terribly. And it was then that I realized Dad had some wisdom. You got to take out that trash. There's a reason why God gave us these laws. There's a reason why our Heavenly Father said, I'm telling you, these are the things to do. Life more full of abundance, more full of promise, more full of opportunity, less accidents, less tragedies. We can't change God's laws. They're written into the fabric of the universe. Our psalm says that the heavens declare the glory of God. God prescribes the path of the sun and the moon. God's laws are written in the universe. We can't change them. I think we can change the laws of the land, though. In all lands, in all places, we have the ability to faithfully discern what brings glory to God? What upholds God's vision for justice? And the arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Amen.
Hello. And thank you for listening to Simply Grace, the podcast ministry of Grace Lutheran Church. This is Pastor Wesley, and I'd like to hear from you. Please send us a message to 909-683-1182. That's 909-683-1182.